And thank you, Father, for our finances, and we give you thanks for what you're doing in our lives and what you are to do in our lives. Amen. Some 17 years ago or so, when I believed that there was a call upon my life, one of the things I thought, apart from, oh no, Lord, I can't speak, is that, Lord, what am I going to speak on? You know, that's okay doing it once and maybe twice, but most weeks, most years, Lord, what are we going to share on? And I don't know if you find the same, but whenever you open the Word, there's something that you think is familiar, yet it jumps out at you afresh. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says it's alive and it's active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So there are things that you've seen that you can look at again and see it in a different way. There's things that you've heard, but you've not heard it. And I just want to share the will of God. You know, when we think about the will of God, when I was a young Christian, I'd say, Lord, what's the will? Your will for my life. And as we journey, we find that out. And other people, they go forward for prayer and they say, I just want to know what the will of God is for my life. And others, they maybe have sleepless nights. Lord, what's your will? And yet, if we look back, we can see that the Lord has shaped us and encouraged us, and he's corrected us and he's directed us. And one of the things I shared last week, that the Lord blessed me with a loud voice. There wasn't much that I knew as a youngster. I was a bit of a dreamer. I was happy with my own company. And then you go through life, and then sometimes life gets in the way and we start to do our own thing. And then there's an opportunity where we hear this wonderful, glorious gospel. And we say to ourselves, what, me? And God says, yes, you. I want you. I died for you. I rose again to give you life and life in all its fullness. So I just want to share one or two scriptures with us. I hope you grab something today. I hope you are blessed. There's a portion of scripture here in Isaiah 30. Just want to read verse 18 to you. It says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. If you read this portion of scripture, you will read all the woes that God is disappointed, that you've gone your own way, that he's a jealous God, that you've been disobedient. He's talking to the church, his people. That you've gone off and you've worshipped other idols, and you think, oh my goodness. And then he says in this portion here, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Part of the will of the Lord is to be gracious to us. Even when we stray and we go far off, we can come back. Therefore, he will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. What's the will of God? Part of the will of God is that we accept his compassion, that we acknowledge our sinfulness, that we wait for him. Lord, I'm quite impatient. I'm not looking at Susan at all. I'm quite impatient. I want it, and I want it now. I rang my son the other day and I said, Joshua, I've taken a carpet up out of one of the rooms. Can you give me a hand to put it in my trailer and transport it? He said, I can't come now, Dad. I'll come when I finish work. But I, knowing you, you'll get impatient and you'll do it anyway. Which I did. I get impatient. And yet God says, wait for me. That's part of his will, that we wait for him. Lord, show me. Guide me. Speak to me. Have you ever said, Lord, speak to me? And God saying, I am? Listen. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to wait and to listen and to understand. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when we look through scripture, it's easy to pick out bits and pieces and just string something together. But there's a truth in all of God's word, yes? It's an inspired word. It's profitable for building up, for edifying, for instructing us, for correcting us and directing us. It's inspired from the Lord. So we can take this word of his and we put it into context. And we understand that even here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Part of the will of the Lord as we look through his word is to trust him. To trust him and lean not on our own understanding. And I can use myself time and time again, because so often I lean on my own understanding. I don't know, I can't do this, Lord. And there's times where I've waited and God has brought the answer. Let's lean not on our own understanding, but we need to trust in the Lord as well as leaning not on our own understanding. Then it goes on to say this, in all your ways, submit to him. Yeah, I won't mention names, but I had a meeting with someone last week and they said, I want to talk to you about tithing, about giving. I remember you saying that there's times where we give God, Lord, you can do whatever, but you can't touch this. And these were his words. And that was me, he said. You can work in my life, Lord, but you can't touch that. It says, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to not lean on our own wisdom, but we also need to shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Amen to that. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. This is not a message on finances. It's just a message on the will of the Lord is to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Have you ever walked this journey and say, Lord, I've got enough love. Thank you. I don't need no more of your love. In other words, Lord, I feel disciplined enough. I feel that you love me too much sometimes. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to hear his voice. And I know for me, myself and I, there's times where I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. Now, can you speak to me something different, Lord? Have you ever got your Bible, and it's dangerous to do this, going, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm just going to open up the word. Go and hang yourself. No, another one, Lord. I'll open up another word. Speak to me differently. There are times where I've done that and God has been right there and he's convicted me. And it's been a word in season. But it's also dangerous. In Proverbs 11:14, for the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Something else I used to struggle with was seeking advice from others. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to share our burdens with one another and with the Lord, to confess our sins one with another and to the Lord, is not to be an island. How often do we... I've visited people this week, this last week, and I've had conversations that I won't reveal because it's personal. But there's an overwhelming sense of self-reliance. I don't like to bother anybody. Do you know we're a family? Do you know that? The body of Christ is a family. You know, we're a body, we're together. There's people around the world that we can identify with as fellow believers. But there's also a local church, and that's this church is our local church for us. And we're part of that. And there's times where we fall ill or we find it difficult to do certain things. And we've heard the message. We've sung the songs. We've been those that are willing to give, but we struggle with receiving. Part of the will of the Lord is that we understand that many advisors are needed at times. What do you think I ought to do about this, Lord? Get together with godly men and women. Will you pray with me? How many times have you had someone in the family or friendship groups, and I've had it many times in church over the years, where someone has come and said, Andrew, I'm doing this. And my first response is, have you prayed about this? This is a big move. It's a bold decision. And no, I just feel it's right. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to trust one another. Find godly people. that you can trust and pray and intercede for the circumstances. For the will of the Lord is for us to be blessed and encouraged. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to bless us and encourage us. You know, part of the fivefold ministry, if you want to put it that way, you know, is not to pull people down, it's to lift people up, it's to instruct people, enable them for works of service so that we can grab what God is saying and say, Lord, work in my life. Give me that compassion, give me that hope, give me that favour that I may be. Lord, resource me that I may be a resource to others. Give me words to say, give me a prayer life that I can intercede. In Romans 8:27, it says this, for he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, the Spirit of the Lord will intercede. I didn't plan on reading this, but let's just read this before we go to that particular portion that says in accordance with the will of God. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, Paul says. For the creation waits in eager anticipation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation is subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of decay. See, God wants to bring us new life and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's us. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we can say amen to that because we see it, we feel it, we identify with. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. There's a hope. The will of God is that we will grab hold of that hope, that we won't just live in the here and now, that we have a future. We have a plan. He has a plan for us. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Part of the will of the Lord is for us to wait patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And part of the will of God is that we will accept that help. That we'll accept the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing saying to people, that's okay, I can do this. And I'm one of them people, I say that of myself. There's times where I don't wait for others to help me, but I'll do it myself. And there's other times where I know that I need that help and I will ask for it. But to say no to the Holy Spirit is another thing. The will of the Lord is for us to identify with him. To say, okay, Lord, come. You know, so often when I look through the ministry of his word and the ministry of the outpouring of his grace, and I come across individuals and corporate people who struggle because they don't think they're worthy. Yeah, I know you can help them, Lord, because they're a good person, but you can't help me. I know you can forgive them, but you can't forgive me. Well, that's not true. If we belong to him, we're his. We're his children. We're adopted into his family. You know, he helps us in our weaknesses. You know, there's times where we're strong, we're on the mountain, we don't feel we need God, but we do. Because we need him to help us to come down the mountain. But when we're in times of weakness, then that's the very time the Lord says, my will for your life is that you let me comfort you. You let me guide you. You let me direct you. You let me correct you. You let me put your feet back on the straight street. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us through wordless groans. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. It's the will of God that the Holy Spirit works in us. We need to massage that muscle. Say, Lord, come, speak to me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to pray in a way that even if I don't understand it intellectually, I know I'm connecting with you. Part of the will of God is for us to bear with him. Let him bear with us in our strength and in our weaknesses. So it's not just a message where we go, okay, I'm going to find out what the will of the Lord is for my life. And we say, right, the will of the Lord is that you do more, you give more, you say more. No, the will of the Lord is that you know him more. And as we know him more, then all the other things will come. Romans 12, just in 2, it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world. You know, part of the will of the Lord is that we don't conform to the pattern of this world. How many times, I mean, I'm one of them strange people that I'm not just doing it to be obnoxious, but so often I'll do the opposite of what everyone else does because they go one way and I go another way. Not because I'm trying to be awkward, but because it's not right. There's times where someone is saying something and I will not join in. In fact, I put myself between the two because that's what God has called me to do, to be the intercessor. You know, when we look through scripture that talks about the wall of hostility, you know, when we go into the synagogue, there was a separation of men and women. And the teaching there is that Paul says that he came to break that barrier down, that the separation would be no more and the two become one. And when we look at the picture of Christ on the cross and we look at the whole imagery around the temple curtain separating us from him, yes? It was torn from top to bottom so that we could get access to him. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to see that when that curtain was torn, we was given access. We need to see that God made us one. We're all equally valued, whether you're male or whether you're female. Our value is the same. We may be given different opportunities, different responsibilities, but we are equally valued by God. So let's not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, God wants us to renew our minds. He wants us to think in a different way to the world around us. The world takes, we should give. The world says no, we say yes. The world has bitterness, we should have forgiveness. The world is full of unforgiveness, we should have grace. And we can't do that in our own strength. That's why the will of the Lord is that we lean upon him in our weaknesses. Lord, when I go into my place of work, Lord, help me with this individual. Lord, in the natural, I want to do these things with this piece of 2x2, but Lord, in the spiritual, help me in my weaknesses. You know what I'm talking about. You might not take a piece of 2x2 into the workplace, but there are times where you dislike someone that much because of what they've said to you and what they've done to you. Well, what have they said to him and what have they done to him? And yet he says, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus knew that he was on the way to the cross. He knew what the cross meant. It wasn't just an earthly crucifixion either. It was the wrath of God upon Christ. It was your sin and my sin upon Christ. Not just his flesh being torn and his body being pierced. It was far more than that. So for us, let's not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good and pleasing, perfect will. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? Let's allow him to transform our minds. I want to think in a different way. Lord, in my time of weakness, if I need help, then I'm going to pray for help. I'm going to not just pray for help, I'm going to receive help. I was doing some work at home in a practical way, and I know a man that can. So I asked him to come and help me, to show me to start off this particular job. Now in the past I would have just done it, wasted a few packs of flooring while I got it right. But you know, there's times we have to humble ourselves. Say, I can't do this. There's times where we can't reach up on that shelf and we need to get someone to do it for us. Hard, isn't it? It is. Or am I the only one that finds it difficult to ask for help? Because we think, I don't want to bother them. But part of the will of God is for us to have a different mindset. Not to suck the life out of people, not to take advantage of people, but to say, I need someone to pray for me about this. And we're part of a body, and will you help me? And if you can't, will you advise me where I can get that help? Part of the will of the God of the Lord is for us to have our minds transformed by the renewing. Let the Holy Spirit come in, and then we'll be able to test if this is in the will of God. Is this the will of God in my life, Lord? Is this what you want for me? Well, as we allow him to renew us, then the old is gone and the new has come. You know, is it John who says, less of me and more of you? Well, if you imagine this glass represents me, and if I've got more of God, then what that mean? What does that mean? There's less of me. So part of the will of God is that we empty ourselves of us, but we allow him to fill us. There's a portion of scripture that we should be mindful of, and it talks about the house being swept, and it's talking about demonic spirits. And it says if the house is swept but it isn't filled, then more demonic spirits will come and dwell that place. Well, for us, we don't empty our minds. We don't stand in meditation and empty our minds and allow the enemy to come in. No, we fill our minds with the Lord. We meditate on him, that he comes in and he purges the old out and leaves more of himself in. Do not conform to the pattern, is what scripture says, as part of the will of the Lord for our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks. Oh, do you like this scripture? Give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, for this is God's will. Give thanks in all circumstances. If we don't recognize that small word that says give thanks in, then we'll be confused, because it doesn't say give thanks for. It says in. When tragedy strikes, it doesn't say give thanks for that tragedy. It says give thanks in. So you're in the boat and there's a storm, and you don't give thanks for the storm. You just give thanks that the Spirit of God is in the boat with you. Lord, I thank you that though I walk through this valley experience, you are there with me. Lord, I have a loved one who is in pain. Lord, I thank you that you can strengthen me to strengthen them. You can encourage me to encourage them. Does that make sense? So part of the will of the Lord is that we give thanks in all circumstances. You know, if we become a people that will just give God thanks when it goes our way, then that's a shallow relationship, isn't it? You know, if you only love me when I give you something, then that's a shallow relationship. When I rub you up the wrong way, and that's never hardly at all. But when I do, you should still love me in that sense, because it's a relationship. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, someone once said that the church is made up of many people, and those people represent different metals, and when different metals come together, you get friction. Part of family life. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So when we look at just one portion of scripture, there's truth in that. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of the Lord. But when we continue to read around those particular portions of scripture, we'll see that there's a teaching there what gives grounding. It will give us a foundation, something solid to build upon. When we talk about the prophetic, when we look through what the Lord has already said in his word, we can lay hold of it. It is a lamp unto our feet. It will shine the way. But test. Another word for test is to prove. And when we think about proving something, if you take a piece of steel and it's proven, it's tested, it's molded and it's shaped, then it has to be tested in a way that is it fit for purpose. If you have a beam that will stretch from one side of this room to the other side of this room, and there is a 10-ton weight that's going to be placed on that beam, you want to hope that has been tested. Yes? It's been proved. And that means that more than what it can bear will be placed upon it. More than what it will bear will be placed upon it. Because then it's proven, it's tested, it can bear the weight and some. And that's the same with us. You know, we should test all of what people say to us. We should test it. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. It's not just what's bad, it's what's evil. You know, there's times where someone may say something that seems innocent. But you need to test it. You need to prove it, because that's part of God's will. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls is faithful, and he will do it. You see, scripture says, unless the Lord builds a church, we labour in vain. So that means he's going to build his church. There are things he calls us to do as part of his will. But there's also things that we should just rely on him to do, because that's part of his will also. That his will is to encourage us, to bless us, to enable us, to increase, to say stop, to say no, to say go. Part of the will of the Lord, I believe, is to bless his people that we may be a blessing. To give that we may give away. To encourage that we may be an encouragement. That's part of the will of the Lord for your life and for my life. In 1 Peter 2:15 it says this, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." You know, there's times where, because you're a Christian, people will say things and do things that will try and cause others to think badly about you. There's, throughout my Christian walk and my corporate life when I was in business, by no means was I quiet and reserved and a pushover, but my word was my bond. And if I owed anyone anything, I paid them. And when I said I would be there, I was there. And if I couldn't make it, I would phone them up. When I was on holiday, I would make sure that my father-in-law picked the phone up to say, "Andrew's not here at the moment, but if you have a problem, I will assist you." When I go into the marketplace and I would purchase things, I paid my bill. There's many companies around King's Lynn that will still give me to this day credit, because I proved myself when I was in business, that they trust me. So that it doesn't matter what others may think about me. They know me because they've proven me. They've tested me. And that may sound a little bit full of myself, but it's not. It's just part of the Christian walk. There's been people that have said, "Andrew has said," and others have said, "No, that's not his character. Andrew has done. No, I'm sorry, that's not his character." Why? Because we've been proven, we've been tested. And that's part of God's will, that we are bent, but we're not broken. "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." So let's be a people that will walk in the will of God and do good, because it's good to do. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. You know, there are things that God calls us to do that are sometimes difficult to do. But if we allow the Spirit of God to shape us and to mould us, we'll walk in his will as we continue in his word. And I just have one or two scriptures to share. It's in Mark 12:30. "Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." This is talking about what's the greatest commandment. So if we're going to walk in the will of God, we need to know what the greatest commandment is, don't we? We need to know that is to love the Lord. You see, if you love God, then you'll hate evil, yes? If you love God, then you'll hate what's false, because you want to hang on to what is true. If you love God, then you'll invite him into your life and you'll say, "Lord, fill me and fill me afresh." You know, the Bible says that we are like earthen vessels, clay pots. And Susan and I, we like to do something very spiritual when we go on holiday. We paint pots. You know, when you get a piece of pottery in your hand, can you believe this? I've done a I painted a cup and Susan made fun of me. It was supposed to be a melon, right? And she said, you call them pips? They're not pips, they're pimples. She didn't say that, but she said, you call them pips? But that pot, there's a point to this story. Not just shaming my wife, but there's a point to this story. But it's true though, she did. And now she drinks out of it because she's been humbled. You see, God always has his way. Nothing in life is wasted. But before that pot is waterproof, it has to be fired. It has to come under fire, yes? It has to go into the kiln. Same with us. Part of God's will is that we go through the fire. It talks about it in Scripture. It says, you know, you've got the wood, the stubble, the straw. You've got all the combustible things. You've got the precious stones, the gold and the silver. When they are tested, the straw, the wood, the stubble, the hay, whatever you want to call it, will be burned. But the precious things will remain. We are like earthen pots, and if we don't come under the fire of God, if we're not kilned, if we're not put under that pressure, then we'll leak, and we'll leak, and we'll leak, and we'll not be able to retain his word. We'll not be able to retain what he says to us. We won't go from glory to glory. We won't understand what it is to show compassion because we haven't received compassion, because the word has gone in and it's leaked out. But as Christians, born again, spirit-filled, where the Spirit of God lives in us, he fires us. He puts us through that kiln, not so that we may be destroyed, that maybe we may be purified. I think that's a good word anyway. That's what God says. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love him. And then it says this. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself. And that's more difficult. If we don't allow God to fire us in the sense to prove us, to test us, to enable us. Lord, I need patience. When I was a youngster at work, my foreman would say, can you go across the road to such and such and get a long wait? And I would go there and I'd be sitting there and I'd be there an hour and a half. And I'd say, excuse me. I said, I came here for a long wait. He said, this is long enough. See, I didn't understand that there was no such thing as wire netting seeds and a left-handed screwdriver. I had to learn those things. Has anyone else been through that? It's the initiation of work. Go for a long wait. Is this long enough? You know, to love your neighbour is to allow God to prove us and to test us and to wait on him so that we receive his love, his forgiveness, and then we can pour it into others. It's part of the will of God for your life is that you accept him. In John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Now, if you're a Christian and you've read your scripture, you understand what the picture is. The snake was there. Those that look at the snake will be healed. Those that don't will perish. And it says, just as that snake was lifted up in the wilderness, so Jesus was lifted up on a stake, on a cross. And everyone who believes that he did what he said he did will have eternal life. Part of the will of God is that we look, that we seek, that we find. Why? For God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The part of the will of the God is that we accept his love. So often the world will say they can't understand a God who allows evil to happen. He allows my loved one to perish before their time. He allows this to happen. He allows cancer. He allows all the atrocities that go on. God doesn't allow it. He didn't orchestrate it. He does allow it. He didn't orchestrate it. It's the devil that orchestrated it. It's the devil that's there to divide. But God says part of his will is that if you will believe that he died for your sin and he paid the price, then you will have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, the will of God is that the whoever's will come. Now, I know that us in this room here, we're Christians. We've already come. But you know, the Bible says that when we preach his word, it goes out. So even though there may not be an unbeliever in this room, the word still goes out. For God so loved the world. That's part of his will for you and I, that we receive it and we share it. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Part of the will of God is to save the world, to bring salvation to the world. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God's will is that you will believe. God's will for our lives is that we do believe, that we'll stand on his solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. My final scripture, and I'll leave you with this, and then we'll ask our worship team to come back, is this in Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The will of God was that Jesus came and stand in our place. So let's stop destroying ourselves. Let's stop destroying other churches. Let's stop destroying other reputations. Let's stand in the gap as Christ stood in the gap for us. Let's be a people that will acknowledge that we need to help one another. That's part of the will of God. Let's be those that will say, here I am, send me. 18 or 19 years ago, I was in a tent meeting in Lincolnshire. I stood alongside my friend Alan Molyneux, and we went to the front and we said, here we are, Lord, send us. You know, when you say those things, you better be careful that you get exactly what you ask for. You better be careful what you do ask for. But for us as God's people, his will for your life is that you know him. And as you know him, you can lean on him. As you lean on him, he will not cast you aside. As you lean on him, he will be the crutch that you need to walk with. He will be the all in all that you need. The will of God for your life is that you accept him as Savior and Lord, and you believe what he says about you. The will of God is that you forgive others because he's forgiven you. The will of the Lord is that you are blessed. You are blessed. You know, promises are made in Scripture. And if there's anyone here that's over the age of 70, you know, God's already given you much, much blessings. The rest is a bonus. It's a bit scary when we think about our age, isn't it? I think I had a conversation with Nigel on the way to the hospital. And it's like, you talk about someone who's over 60. I get concessions. I get concessions. You know, you think, well, I need to help that little old lady. Well, that little old lady is me, that little old man, in the sense of God has blessed me, but he's promised me long life. Part of the will of the Lord is that we will see that. Yes, we will get older. Yes, we will ache. Yes, we will not be able to do things that we used to do, but God's put us in a body. Part of the will of the Lord is that we serve one another. I'm going to stop talking and ask our team to come forward. So today's message was entitled, What's the Will of the Lord for My Life? And to be simplistic about it, is that you know him better. You allow him to bend you and shape you and mold you and prove you. There's a portion of scripture that backs this up, where it says, God will not give you more than you can bear. He won't give you more than he's proved you in. That you might think, I can't do this. But if he's asked you to do it, you can. Why? Because you've been proved. You've been tested. I won't give you more than you can bear. Because God has already tested you. Part of the will of the Lord is that you walk in the fullness of who he is and who you are. Amen. Amen.